There are so many great things happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis.
It's like in the Book of Esther. God has placed each of us in this local church for a time like this.
We're just all people of God.
You know, we're all human. We're all fallen. We're all sinners.
I think we put on Christ, we put on love.
Put on Christ with us as we learn to witness in new ways, find inspiration in those around us, and look for guidance from the Holy Spirit, our Holy Mother Church, and the shepherds of our local church.
Because we're all on a journey.
Continue this journey with us now with another episode of Practicing Catholic. Welcome to Practicing Catholic. I'm Leah Hazelton.
I'm Father Tom Margavichus.
And we've got Stations of the Cross, Stations of the Resurrection for our show this week. And what's up with all of these stations?
Yeah, you might remember a couple of weeks ago, Archbishop Hebda, when we had him on, was talking about the stational churches in Rome during Lent.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's go back to our basic Latin grammar.
Okay.
Sto stare, the Latin verb to stand.
Okay.
Standing, S-T-A, you know, that kind of a root. Station is a place for standing. You stop moving and you pause in a place. So that's all stational means, is that while you are moving, you take a moment to stop moving in a particular place and do something while you're stopping.
Okay.
In Lent, you know, there are the stational churches, meaning the whole season of Lent is a journey. Mm-hmm. We're all on a pilgrimage toward Calvary and ultimately the resurrection. And then while on our way there, we make a stop each step along the way.
Hmm.
This is how the Stations of the Cross developed,
that
we're all walking with Jesus toward Calvary, and we punctuate that with individual moments of prayer along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as we will hear also, probably less familiar to our listeners, the concept of the Stations of the Resurrection,
mm-hmm.
and how they have Heidi and Janae have investigated and expanded that locally. They're not the first to do so, not the only ones around, but it's relatively unfamiliar. And I think our listeners will appreciate how you don't just, now that Easter's here, let's all eat the chocolate bunnies and and have ham with pineapple on it. No, let's stop along our journey of celebration and reflect, what does this mean for me, the fact that Christ has risen from the dead?
Yeah. And I'm just thinking about all the different ways to pray the Stations of the Cross, too. I remember going through my K-8 Catholic school, we would do living Stations of the Cross, like the Church of St. Paul does in Ham Lake. And there would always be different prayers wherever we would go to stations, too, though. Like, I have a little book that's like St. John Henry Newman Stations. And I just wonder, like, do you know how those developed throughout the years? Like,
well, the whole idea of pilgrimage even predates Christianity, of course. You know, people of faith have made journeys since, you know, the beginning of civilization. And we within the people of God have marked our journeys with all of these various ways of doing stations. And that even shows up in the liturgy. It's less familiar now than it would have been. You know, the stational churches of Rome is something of a holdover for that. But any people who have ever studied carefully, for example, the order of baptism of children, the order of baptism of children, even today, in its relatively recent revised book, assumes you're going to do the baptismal liturgy stationally, which means let's not all sit in the front pews at the beginning. Let's gather at the doors of the church.
Oh, like at the baptismal font.
At the doors.
At the doors.
Gather at the doors and say, why have you come here for baptism? Who is this? Oh, that's Jimmy. The church welcomes you. Now let's process on our way in, and we will hear the word of God at the station of the ambo.
Wow.
And then from the ambo, then you make a procession over to the font, and you do the next baptismal part of that at that station, and then you finally conclude the baptismal rite by a procession to the altar. And even for baptism of children, it says things like, you know, one day you too will come to this altar to share the body and blood of Christ. In the meanwhile, the rest of us who are sons and daughters, let's call out to God using the words we always pray when we gather at the altar, Our Father who art in heaven. Huh. So the baptismal liturgy, even today for children outside of Mass, is intended to be a stational liturgy. That how baptism mirrors Christian life is that we, just as Christian life, we progress through various stages in our heart, our bodies proceed through various places to mirror that. I'm teaching you something.
You're learning. Teaching me a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we go from, I guess, the stations of the cross to the stations of the resurrection then. Even the transition between the two, could that even be stational?
It could be. It could be. We're all on a pilgrimage, marking our pilgrimage with various stops along the way. Let's thank our listeners for joining us for this show today.
Though it may not feel like it, Easter is coming, and so is a new way to journey with the risen Lord. We're excited to welcome Heidi Harvey and Janae Bauer to preview their upcoming series on post-resurrection gospel encounters. Janae and Heidi, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Glad to have you with us.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about this series, Stations of the Resurrection, and your retreat that goes along with it?
Yes. Well, there's a fun backstory that I'll have Heidi hop in on that. But basically, right now, we, through the partnership of the Archdiocese, we have a 7-video series that will introduce the 14 Stations of the Resurrection, and it gives a chance for our listeners and everybody viewing that to walk along Jesus with the resurrection and those gospel encounters that we've heard of, but to really celebrate and to honor, you know, these 50 days of the Easter season. And when we were asked to do this at our women's retreat, then what we wanted to do, because I would say 9 out of 10 Catholics that we ask, have you heard about the Stations of the Resurrection, say no. So we use that as an opportunity not only to introduce the stations, but then to go deeper and how do you really live those out and what are some key messages?
So what is historical background of the Stations of the Resurrection?
Yes. So do you want to hop in, Heidi?
Sure. The Stations of the Resurrection go back, well, obviously they're biblical, so we know that they're just the moments of Jesus's from the point of the empty tomb to the Pentecost experience of those in the upper room, and a number of stations in between. Now, the church hasn't actually defined exactly the 14 Stations of the Resurrection like we have in the Stations of the Cross, but they are just such a gift, and it kind of got lost, and I think it's in the last maybe 20 years or so that the church has really brought them back and declared that through the Vatican, and they are a legitimate and excited. We're excited to share about this new devotion.
How did you guys find the Stations of the Resurrection? What made you become devoted to it?
Google, right?
It's kind of funny because a number of years ago, we had done a retreat for this, the Church of St. Paul Women's group, and it was more about the Stations of the Cross, and there's a whole story around that. But eventually after that, it was like, Lord, I know there has to be a bookend to the Stations of the Cross, that the resurrection is so amazing, it's so powerful, and we need to remember that. So of course I did. I just started to Google it, and of course there it was. Someone way smarter than me long ago has thought of this, and so it was just such a joy to be able to start researching and seeing what exists and how the church is so wise. And so many people who have gone before us have had these wonderful thoughts. And it was just this perfect moment then to bookend our first retreat with the Stations of the Cross with the answer to that, that the passion isn't the end of the story, but Jesus's victory in his resurrection is the end of the story, and just such a beautiful way to give us hope.
Do you know of any saints or particular churches around that have made a more prominent appearance of the stations in their artwork or in their writings?
You know, that's what we're starting to encounter now. There's a wonderful story of one of our retreatants who actually at the end, she went cross country with her husband to evangelize. And so she found out a mission out in California, one of those missions, they have a beautiful Stations of the Resurrection walk, and they had a booklet. So she had to share with us, like, look it, it's here some other place. So that was really neat. And then actually when we were looking at the stations and looking at some of the artwork, we came across a partner church that has agreed to allow us to use their images and so forth in Vancouver.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's called the Gardens of Gethsemane. And they have been, they're actually, their whole archdiocese did this a number of years ago. And they have in one of the Catholic cemeteries their actual stations that they got from another artist, I believe in Nebraska, maybe somewhere in the United States. There has been an artist who has done some of this. But they have it there where you can actually walk through the cemetery and pray the Stations of the Resurrection as a way of hope in that beautiful sacred ground. So,
wow.
Yeah, cool.
So how can our listeners get involved with the Stations of the Resurrection? What is coming down the pipe in regards to this?
Yes, so we're so excited with this video series to be able to partner with Archdiocese, with PEX, to be able to get the small groups. And what we found is with our different connections throughout the U.S., they're like, can we do it too? So they've been so generous to also allow other archdioceses or other groups. So I think we'll have a combination of some doing small groups or independent, virtual, which is great. We have the videos where people can do virtual groups. And then, you know, we said, hey, there's so much going on always during Lent with all these wonderful studies that now we have something for Easter. And because we're not just Easter people during Easter, but all year. So we have a follow-up retreat. And then our hope, too, is, you know, we could do an Easter mission or, you know, whatever the Lord might call us to do. Mm-hmm.
So you've developed the Stations of the Resurrection up at St. Paul Church in a little greater extensiveness.
Yes.
Yes, right. And you mentioned retreats. Do you have any published materials or things online that if people wanted to look at them, you know, read them? Not that any of our listeners would be, you know, scrolling the internet instead of listening to us.
Yes, no,
exactly.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think our really signature piece is Heidi's prayer poem. That was really the essence of the retreat. So if you want to enlighten them on that,
sure.
Heidi.
Yeah, so the first women's retreat that we did that was stations around, or that was centered around the Stations of the Cross, really took a look at how did Jesus walk through his passion and be silent? He had every opportunity to shout and I am the God of the universe. And, you know, the whole thing would have been different, but instead the lamb before the slaughter was silent, as we know. And so we really prayed in that retreat about how to walk with Jesus in the passion with humility. And that was my first prayer poem about the Stations of the Cross with the Litany of Humility. And then it was like, wow, when the Lord is risen, we can't keep silent anymore. How do we proclaim that? And so in prayer, I just took that with the Lord, and a prayer poem came out of that again, which really just takes the Stations of the Resurrection and looks at it with the kerygma, which, as we know, is just basically a way to share the good news. And so if we're not keeping silent anymore, what do we say? And so this looks at these 14 stations, how Jesus encounters his people as our risen Lord. And then how do we now go out and share that good news as well?
Wow. Oh, wow. I'm so excited for this video series. And you guys are so humble because I was teeing you up to say Archbishop Hebda heard about these Stations of the Resurrection. And he was so excited that he went to our small group employees here at the Archdiocese and said, we got to make a video series about this. So it's just a huge honor. Like, Archbishop sees the value of this and it's just amazing.
Well, and just those full circle moments, because in our first retreat, we were so moved by his You Will Be Our Witnesses pastoral letter that in there it said, do not be afraid if the Lord has blessed you and if you have some gifts, please come forth. You know, we need you. And so we're like, well, we think that's us. Could we share? And he was so gracious to hear us. And I know on his heart was all the new Easter people coming into the church. So mm-hmm. it was a great way to try to say, now that you're in, continue to be enriched and mm-hmm. have some, you know, great content and ways you can walk with other people. So it just was such a divine connection that we're mm-hmm. so glad.
Yes, that's amazing.
Can you, for our listeners, just walk through all of the stations, just say what each one is?
Sure. Do we want to do every other one, Heidi?
Sure. So we start, of course, at the first station, which Jesus rises from the dead.
The second.
And the kerygma theme of that is remembering that God loves us, and he has a great plan for us.
The second station, the women discover the empty tomb. The kerygma explores how God has an amazing plan for your life.
Mm-hmm. And then the station number three is Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. And that he calls us each by name.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that sin actually can get in the way. We know he's got a great plan for us. He loves us. He's got a great plan. But sin can sometimes get in the way.
The fourth station, Jesus appears on the road to Emmaus. So this is that time to reorient my life back to the one who loves me.
Mm-hmm. The fifth station is Jesus reveals himself in the breaking of the bread. And when we hear the Lord, he calls us to believe in the gospel, the good news of God's saving love.
The sixth station, Jesus appears to the disciples. The kerygma teaches us to be baptized, to join a community.
The seventh station is Jesus breathes peace and gives power to forgive sins. And we receive the Holy Spirit in this one. Mm-hmm.
The eighth station, Jesus strengthens the faith of Thomas. So we have new life in the body of Christ.
The ninth station is Jesus eats with the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And we know that we're called to go forth and not keep it to ourselves.
And Jesus forgives in the 10th station, Peter, and entrusts him to feed his sheep. So we are reminded through Peter to proclaim the good news.
The 11th station is Jesus sends the disciples into the world through the Great Commission. And we know that when we see this hurting world, we can't keep silent.
The 12th station, Jesus ascends into heaven. All power in heaven and earth has been given to us.
In the 13th station, Mary and the disciples wait for the Spirit in the upper room. And we know that sometimes it's really hard to wait. But in that waiting, Jesus meets us there when we come together and worship and pray.
In our 14th station, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, so Pentecost. So we are baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Mm. There's a line from the preface, the Eucharistic preface from this last week at Mass. Let me know if you remember it, Father. It's like, there's a special one for year A, and it's one of my favorites. It's about how, like, the passion leads to the glory of the resurrection. So how can reflecting, like, on the resurrection in Lent help us prepare for Easter? It's so, like, it's hard for me to reconcile that in my head to, like, think about the resurrection, because I'm like, I'm in the desert. I'm in the depths of despair.
I know. I keep thinking of all the resources, you know, doing a book on suffering and, right, all those, like you
said.
Yeah,
but we can't fast the bridegrooms with us. So, like, how do we do both those things?
Yeah, and I think it's, we're just talking, just having that hope in the resurrection, even during this time of getting closer and being part of that desert experience with the Lord, when those moments get hard, I mean, just, you know, I've had a tough couple of days, even myself, and just being like, okay, but we remember the victory, the hope and the resurrection. And so I think even just having like that, that's the light at the end of the tunnel helps. But our hope is that we won't stop after the Lenten. Because I think there's so many wonderful studies and people will have groups and do that, but then we tend to stop. So we really want to encourage people to keep going because this is the feast.
Well, I was involved with the Charismatic Renewal back in the 1970s. And back then, in the early days, the Jesus people were called Alleluia people. And so many of the early praise and worship music included the word Alleluia in it, such that we had a hard time doing praise and worship music during Lent because we didn't know if we're doing praise and worship in a non-liturgical setting, are we allowed to say Alleluia? Certainly the songs we use during our liturgy during Lent don't use that word. But that word itself is not like a bad word that we're not allowed to say during Lent. So I would think that would be similarly, you know, yes, as you did say, as long as the bridegroom is here, you know, we don't fast. But once the bridegroom is removed, we will fast. Yes, we still are in the Lenten season, but it's a mistake to think that the resurrection hasn't happened yet. It has happened.
Yeah.
And it is worth celebrating, which is why even on the Sundays of Lent, we don't do the Alleluia, we still wear violet, but we are relaxing our Lenten disciplines in honor of the resurrection, which has the final word.
Yes. That's beautiful.
I think there's such hope that I find in thinking of in my own sorrows is finding a little piece of joy in it. We know that they're so closely related. Oftentimes, you know, joy and sorrow are so near each other. And when it's actually helping my Lent this time dive in deeper because I know what's coming even more. And I'm so excited about what is to come with this series and everything and just praying for this archdiocese, that it's allowing me to actually enter in more deeply into the Lenten experience because I know my sorrow will lead to that joy and that he's with me in all of it. There's always the hope of what is to come, even when we're in that sorrowful place.
Janae, you mentioned a little bit about how this series is particularly designed for OCIA candidates who, yeah, have went through all of this formation. My future brother-in-law is in OCIA right now, so he's used to going to his classes every Thursday, and come Divine Mercy Sunday, like, you don't have that every week. So how is this designed to walk with them?
Yeah, so that was a key theme that, you know, Minnie, we were talking about, that it just starts to end. And if people haven't gotten a good group, and then what's hard too is that you have your group that you've walked through with, and then you kind of filter back into the parish life and might not do that. So that is our hope, that there will be some small groups that might just focus on there, or that they can get connected with another small group in the parish. But I think that concept of the idea of that we are Easter people all the time, and how wonderful that they entered the church at that time.
Yeah, I'm just thinking specifically my brother-in-law, like, this is his first, or at least first experience in a while, and like, as a man preparing for marriage, like, it's his first experience of a parish.
Yes.
So how do you guys foresee, like, the small group series, like, the series specifically in small groups rather than the retreat bearing fruit in the Archdiocese?
Well, I think with the small, I can talk about the small group, Heidi, and then if you want to talk about the retreat, think that this, what'll be beautiful about this is we have a discussion guide that goes around with the stations, so that they'll have the stations, they'll have a copy, be able to have a copy of the prayer poem, so that then you can have this printed out and have it as a guide to keep walking further. But then those discussion questions we have not only to help with the small group, but also journaling questions and prayer and praise and worship to go with it. So we're really hoping that by the end of that 14 station, that they feel baptized with the Holy Spirit, they feel that call. And then if they want to go deeper with us, then we have a whole retreat experience to help with that.
Yeah, Heidi, can you tell us a little bit about the retreat and what that has been like? And you mentioned your first retreat, you were struck by Archbishop's letter too. So when did you guys start doing these retreats too?
The first one that we had done was, I guess, what was it, like 2023 maybe?
Yes.
And both at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake for the women's retreat. But the one for the Stations of the Resurrection, it's wonderful to understand the devotion, and that's what the video series does, is it gives us an introduction into the 14 stations, and then of course in my little poem how they overlay with sharing Jesus and who he is and what he's done for you. It's great on a surface level on the videos to be able to understand that, but what the retreat does then is it takes each station. And we have a theme, like we said, we have the kerygma around it. So really understanding how much, like on the first station, how much God loves me and just receiving that love from him. But then also, how do I go out and share that? How do I have the words and some tools in my tool belt to be able to share the good news with others? Some of us Catholics are good at that and others have some growth. I know I'm a work in progress here and we're all kind of learning. And so this is just, the retreat breaks it open a little bit more to say, okay, let's put some things, let's have our testimony ready. Let's have a plan for when someone wants ask me for prayer, or let's be able to have a little gift for someone that you can just encourage them with. And just in each of the stations, we really vet it out a little bit more. And pray into, like, how do I live this station? How do I receive it from the Lord? And how do I share it with others?
Mm. Wow. Oh, I'm an excited person by nature, but I just keep getting more and more excited about this.
And we have a station. We're in the studio with St. Carlo Acuta Studio. Is that correct?
Yes.
He's one of our station imitations.
Oh,
so for
what
station,
is that?
Station
number,
imitation.
Yes, a station imitation. We wanted a saint to walk with each of us on the stations. And so he is our station number 5, where Jesus reveals himself in the breaking of the bread.
Oh.
So it's just another way to be able to connect on a deeper level with the wonderful gifts the church has given us. And it was great because when we talked to Archbishop, there was even one of our saints he wasn't familiar with. So,
oh, that's
awesome. Like, stump the Archbishop.
You really can't do that very often, so you guys should feel good about that.
Well, if our listeners want to find out more, where should they go? If they want to get involved, how do they do this?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to share, Heidi?
Sure. So the first thing would be to contact the parish and find out who is in charge of the PECS program within their parish. Get signed up for a small group. And most of the parishes have that liaison already, so they're going to have all the information. They'll have the handouts ready and the timing of the groups. It sounds like each group can pick the time that they want to meet and when they watch the videos. And so there's some autonomy. Once you get into the group, you kind of just are aligned with who when they're meeting and where they're meeting. So if you contact your parish, that's probably the best first step. If you're out of the archdiocese, we're going to have on our website a way just to be able to get in contact with us and get a copy of the videos. We're anticipating there'll be small groups throughout the country and different pockets of people that we've been talking with and that they may want to participate in. That would be the best route at this point, I understand.
And what website is that?
Yes, so we started a ministry based out of this called belovebelight.org.
Great.
B-E-L-O-V-E, B-E-L-I-G-H-T.
Yep. .org. Yes, exactly. And so we just really thought that's the essence. We want to be love and be light for the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And the YouTube videos will be appearing live on the Archdiocese YouTube account too, starting Easter Monday, April 6th. And if you want to get them directly in your inbox, you can subscribe to Archbishop's Together on the Journey, where there's a monthly video and a weekly column, and the videos will be shared there as well.
That's great.
So good to have you with
us. I know. We have a fun ending.
Mm.
All right. So from our heart to yours, be love.
And delight.
Oh, thank you guys so much for joining us. Coming up next, Youth Minister Brian Cox joins us to share how the youth at St. Paul and Ham Lake's Bring the passion to life in Living Stations.
Little by little, you're climbing up the mountain, and now you've got new challenges.
The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
I really need to work at loving my annoying coworker, you know, whose cubicle is right next to mine, and he or she just is driving me nuts. You know, it's interesting. It's like, I wonder, you know, how our Lord dealt with the chronically annoying. I bet he gave them, you know, the best that he could. But I mean, that's a tough thing to love that person, even in their, you know, where they are. The spiritual life is not just about like playing not to lose, we're playing to win, right? We don't want to just merely avoid sin. We want to keep growing in charity.
It's The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
The true and lasting joy of loving God with your whole heart and your neighbor as yourself. Mm. And that involves a big mountain climb. You're not going to get there tomorrow.
11 a.m. Central Time on RelevantRadio.com and the Relevant Radio app.
We talk about all things marriage related.
Marriage unhindered.
You know, problems people run into, or how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, how to love better within marriage. And then we have callers who call in with questions, problems, concerns about their marriage, and see if I can't pass on a piece of advice or two. We cover everything from my spouse is a slob to, you know, affairs and pornography and everything in between.
Marriage Unhindered with Doug Hinderer, 5 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
Lent is a season of reflection and preparation, and at St. Paul and Ham Lake, that reflection comes alive. Today we welcome Youth Minister Brian Cox to talk about the parish's Living Stations, a moving portrayal of Christ's passion brought to life by youth. Brian, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Glad to be here.
Yes, and it's just me interviewing Brian today. Father Tom was not available. Could you just tell us a little bit about Living Stations of the Cross and how it came about in the community at St. Paul?
Sure. Well, we've been doing a reenactment of Living Stations for about 35 years now. It's a pretty big production, a pretty big to-do that we have here. Usually between the three nights that we will do our performance, or rather our performative prayer, we have about 2,700 people that will come to witness these teens that are portraying Jesus Christ in the Stations of the Cross. This year, we have a record number of teens that are involved, over 160, and they're actively praying every single time before we have practice, and also they're praying for all the people that are going to be there as well in the pews to witness Jesus Christ in his passion. So a great Lenten tradition for sure. And the Church of St. Paul is incredibly blessed to have such a wonderful group of volunteers and teens that put forth so much time and effort into the production.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is your role with the production? I know it's not, this isn't just put on at St. Paul at Ham Lake. That's one of the parishes, but it goes around to others in that area too as well.
Right. So specifically what we do is we're all here. We're all in-house. I'm the youth ministry program coordinator, which means that I get to oversee several different ministries that are kind of all in the program of youth ministry. What I do is I help with a lot of the administrative, a lot of the behind the scenes work, a lot of the paperwork that goes along with Living Stations, as well as, because I know most of the teens pretty well, I just get to be that kind of like friendly face, that liaison to them, and really try to be there to sort of help shepherd my sheep, if you will.
So what makes Living Stations unique compared to the traditional Stations of the Cross?
I think what makes it unique is it's just so easy to visualize and to see what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. It's also just amazing to see all of these teens come together specifically for one goal, with that goal being to evangelize, with that goal being to have every single person that comes, whether it's their neighbor, their parents, their siblings, their friends at school, whoever, just to come closer to Christ. We have a wonderful time of prayer after each of the performances. On Wednesday and Thursday evening, we have praise and worship. And then on Friday evening after the performance is a time of adoration. And it's a beautiful time where we're just really specifically trying to bring everyone closer to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's been going on for 35 years. I imagine there's some generational overlap there.
That there is. There are a number of adult volunteers right now that are part of our team helping to put it together. that were participants when they were teenagers in high school. And we even have some kids of former volunteers that have now stepped into roles volunteering themselves. So there's certainly multiple generations that are a part of it. And they're really helping to build the legacy that Living Stations is to the Church of St. Paul.
So can you tell us a little bit about this year's performance? Is there anything new that's going on?
This year's performance, right now, just sort of behind the scenes, we're just trying to make costumes for everyone because this is a record number of folks that we're going to have in the performance itself. Specifically to this year, we're just trying to pray. You know, we're not trying to reinvent anything. We're just trying to put on something that other people can come closer to Jesus Christ through witnessing. So just continuing to update our costumes, update ourselves, maybe update a couple of the stations and the wording. But otherwise, it is a pretty similar production to what we've been doing in years past.
Mm-hmm. So I went to Catholic grade school, and I remember when we would do living stations at my grade school too, on Fridays and Lent. And I remember when my class got to do it, it was always like, who's going to get to be Mary kind of thing. And it was always so exciting. So, but I'm thinking too, I don't know if I really understood what I was like portraying. So how do you get these teenagers to really understand like the gravity of the roles that they're playing?
Yeah, we ask each of them to really research the role it is that they are portraying. So for the young man who's playing Pontius Pilate, we tell him, hey, go home, look up like who this person was, look up what it meant to be a governor in the Roman Empire, look up what was going on in history at that point in time, look up how the Jews were reacting with the Romans being there, you know, just trying to get a better historical context. And then also we kind of take, so we have lots of positions, obviously, lots of roles, folks that are just in the crowd, as we say, and we just try and tell them kind of like the history. Hey, some of you are really on team, let's crucify Jesus, he's a troublemaker. And then some of you are on team, wow, I really liked his teachings, like that man, that's who we're crucifying. And so you'll see the different emotions, even within the crowd, kind of in the backdrop, is really trying to portray the conflict that was happening that day and age.
I can imagine that the teenagers really like getting into their role can impact the viewers' perception of it. I'm thinking about The Chosen, just like I've learned a lot more about the Bible and things like that, and like Pontius Pilate, what he must have been going through just by watching this TV show.
Absolutely. When I was in high school, kind of after my conversion, I was a part of Living Stations as well at a different parish, and I actually got to portray the repentant thief. And what was so awesome about that is we had our Living Stations performance on like the Wednesday evening. And then everyone who was there also got to see me baptized and come into the church Easter Vigil on Saturday evening. So it was like, oh, it's real, you know? Yeah. And so everyone kind of gets to have that same experience here where they see Jesus and they see some of these teens that are kind of like moving through different emotions. And then as we head into Holy Week, we also get to experience those emotions ourselves, and we get to have that visualization that reminds us what it was that these people went through, and how we get to respond to Christ as a result.
Wow. What is that like for you now, Brian, being able to help lead these teenagers when you were so impacted by being part of the Living Stations as a teenager yourself?
Yeah, I am so thankful, so grateful that God has given me the opportunity to be here. I absolutely love working with these teens. I'm convinced I have the best job in the world. I'm sure Practicing Catholic podcast is great, but mine's a little better, just to let you know. it's really a humbling experience to get to reach out to someone. I feel like I'm kind of doing the same thing that God did for me so many years ago. I just want to be a mentor. I just want to help people live a closer life with Jesus and be there where I can. Share my wisdom where I can, share my humor where I can, and share my efforts where I can. I feel like that's what God called me to do, and I'm just so happy for the opportunity to do it.
Yeah. What do you hope the teenagers who are participating in Living Stations take away from it?
More than anything, I just want them to take away that Jesus loves them. Mm. First and foremost. Like, okay, yeah, we're putting a lot of fake blood on Luke Marty this year. Why are we doing that? We're doing that because Jesus Christ didn't use fake blood. That was his real blood. You know, he gave everything. He gave his whole life. He gave his body. And we're here and we get to make a reenactment of it because he did all of that for us. So I hope that's what the teens take away from it. I hope that's what the audience takes away from it as well. In fact, every person that comes, we have a moment where the cast will walk out into the pews, and to every single person that's there, they hand them a nail that it's got a little nail polish on it, but a little red tip. And it's just a reminder that says, Jesus died for our sins, not just the sins of the crowd, not just the sins of people in general, but for Brian and for Leah and for every single person that's listening here. He died for each and every single one of us.
Wow. Something I've been praying with a lot lately is like, and we just need to accept that gift that Jesus gives us. Like, how, what a gift.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think you can kind of see it as the teenagers progress through our practices. We start in the beginning of February, and we'll practice once a week. And you can kind of see them as we go through the process. They get more comfortable with the roles. They get more comfortable with each other. But then eventually they start to get more comfortable with the relationship that they're having with Jesus Christ. They start to get more comfortable in those times of prayer. We do a lot of praise and worship before our rehearsals, and they get more comfortable with that as well. And that's just a beautiful thing to see.
Mm. Have you seen teenagers in the production come in kind of like begrudgingly and then leave just different based on their experience?
I think I've certainly seen that in teens in general. You know, it's hard to really kind of make one specific part of our program and say that's the most specific, like that's the most effective piece of it. So I have certainly seen that from teens in general, many that are here at the Church of St. Paul. Have I seen it specifically with Living Stations? Yes, of course. I've seen a lot of them take roles of leadership, especially as they progress and they become seniors throughout their high school career. They start to help the freshmen, the underclassmen, the middle schoolers a little more. Certainly, some of them, they have that in their role. You know, Simon of Cyrene, he's got a couple of children with him, and that person always becomes sort of a fatherly figure to them. It just seems to happen every year.
This just seems like such a fantastic way to get teenagers like involved in their church and in those roles of leadership. And I'm just imagining the ways that it's like renewed the community just to have that constant program, for lack of a better word.
Absolutely. Like I said, we are so blessed to have the core of volunteers that put so much time and effort into helping with our production, not only the physical, like making of the costumes, but that, I mean, that gets to bear a lot of fruit in the teens, because each and every single one says, wow, someone sat down with an iron, with a sewing machine, and made this for me. And just to see kind of the adults work and plant those seeds that later come to life in the teens, that is awesome. And then certainly having those chances for teens to have leadership is just amazing. We get so many folks that come every year only to Living Stations. And many of them, they're not even Catholic. I have conversations in the gathering area of the church every single year after the performances. People say, this is a Catholic church? Like, you all seem so alive. You all pray so much. I'm like, yes, we are. We're very Catholic. And that's just a great thing to really show kind of the rest of the world exactly what's going on. And the teens are taking leadership in doing that as well. Many of them, they have conversations, and we actually have every performance, three seniors will give their testimony about what being in the Living Stations has meant to them over the years. And specifically, they'll talk about their role that they're playing and how they feel like they've been able to grow closer to Christ through that specific role, researching that person, enacting that person. What are the conflicts that person had? Like, what are their interior thoughts? How do I portray that outwardly? And just to see them stand up and to share their faith in such a public way, it really does bring a lot of fruit to the parish and to everyone that comes to see it.
Mm. Can you share any stories of some of these teenagers that just come to know Christ in a new way?
Absolutely. We have, let's see, there was a young man last year that comes to mind where he just really started to receive a great gift of the Holy Spirit when we were in prayer. Every time after the performances, you know, he would kind of start to shake, and was just really feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he's kind of continued to walk along that same path where he's trying to figure out, okay, well, what is this gift that God has given me? What is the best way to use it? We've gone to Steubenville, conferences as well, where those things are kind of talked about and explored, and people get to pray that way. They get more in touch with the Holy Spirit. And specifically, I've seen that from one young man just this last year, kind of begin that journey.
Along with that, of those stories of teenagers coming to know Christ, do you have any stories of participants that you can think of, like the ones you talk into the ones you've talked to in the gathering space that you're mentioning?
Absolutely. Almost every performance that we have, I try and just talk to people out at in the gathering area. And, you know, we're prepared for it. We hand out cards that say, hey, did you like what you saw today? Well, here's our schedule for Mass. And many times people will just say, wow, this was such an incredible experience. Like, I want to grow in my own faith. And we do take group reservations for those that want to come. We'll save you a seat right up front so you can see it up close and personal. And there's even a woman, she just called me the other day and said, I came last year. It was really a good spark in my faith. I'm bringing 15 people with me this year. I said, fantastic. We'll save you a seat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. how does experiencing the passion in this way, like starting Holy Week with Living Stations, or like on Good Friday going to Living Stations, how does that help you enter into Lent and Holy Week?
You know, I think for every single person, we go through Holy Week, and it's one thing to hear Jesus died for your sins. It's another thing to really have a connection with that. And I think that Living Stations of the Cross really helps us deepen that connection that we have. And so it's not that it changes what Holy Week is, but it changes our perspective on what Holy Week can be for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are there particular stations that you notice resonate most with either the teenagers or the audience?
I think that one of the most impactful moments is when Jesus is taken down from the cross and is brought to the Virgin Mary. And she has this moment where she is sitting with him and just sort of thinking about her life that she has had with him, that she has as a mother for a son, you know, that connection. And we have a couple of other teenagers that will stand up in the back that are also dressed as Mary and like younger Jesus. And the song is, "You will always be a son to me." That's playing during this time. And so you get to see these two flashback Marys, as we call them, as the Virgin Mary with Jesus dead in her arms is thinking about all the different times that she has been able to spend with Jesus throughout the course of his natural life. And this is a deeply impactful moment, I think, for everyone that comes to see it, that Jesus was not just a God, but like he was also person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was fully man. And so all of the relationships of these characters that are being portrayed, they would have had real deep relationships, not just with him as this God figure, but him as a son, as a teacher, as rabbi, you know, as someone who is truly leading them in their faith. He would have been such an impactful person to see these things happen to.
Wow. I mean, just hearing that scene, I feel kind of choked up, so I can't imagine how powerful that would be.
I'm sorry, person. I can lay off a little bit if you want.
No, it just, yeah, I guess it's just something I've been praying with a lot is like Mary's thoughts. We had a retreat at the Archdiocesan Catholic Center recently for our employees. And yeah, it was a lot about Mary and like her place in the passion. And just everything she must have felt and she knew that this was going to happen and knew that she had to let Jesus do that, but she still wanted to walk with him and just felt so much suffering. Wow. So when and where can people attend this year's Living Stations?
Absolutely. So we will have three performances, or I suppose a better term again is like prayerful portrayal. And they are going to be March 18th, 19th, and 20th. That's a Wednesday, a Thursday, and a Friday at the Catholic Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake. We are going to start our performances at 7 p.m. There's no cost. You don't need to get a ticket in advance. Just show up. But I will say this, we open up the doors at about 6 o'clock. And sometimes it's packed. Sometimes it's hard to get a seat. We try to invite a few VIPs. I know last year we invited Father Mike Schmitz. We invited Jonathan Rumi. We invited Dallas Jenkins. We've invited Archbishop Hebda in the past. Only Archbishop Hebda of those four has actually come. But if you're invited, which everyone listening to this podcast is, you're in elite company.
Wow, that's amazing. Hopefully, keep extending those invites. You never know when they're gonna make a stop. Jeff Cavins lives in Minnesota, and they're all buddies.
He's got connections here with our parish, so yeah, Jeff Cavins, you can come too.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing more about the Living Stations and your role in it.
Thanks for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here, and it's such a pleasure to be a part of Living Stations and the Church of St. Paul.
Great. Thank you so much, Brian. Coming up, don't miss inspiring talks, powerful missions, and events that will challenge and lift your faith.
For everyone out there that's struggling, God definitely has been with me through this whole thing. There's no way I could have made it this far without God.
How much has Relevant Radio played into that? I mean, do you listen on a regular basis or here and there?
That's all I listen to now.
Mm-hmm. And how has Relevant Radio helped you, Jeff?
I learn a lot. I'm really curious about things. I'm a very rational person. So you know how some things don't make sense? You know how like when you're praying the rosary and certain things come up in your head, like, wait, how does this make sense? I need stuff to make sense. And that's where Relevant Radio helps me, because people call in with the same questions I have. And then once I have a valid answer, I could digest and my faith becomes stronger that way. You know, I need things to make sense. And Relevant Radio makes things make sense. The questions people have and the answers that are given, I go, oh, there it is.
Broadcasting hope for 25 years. This is Relevant Radio. The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
This is the show that's all about spiritual direction, talking about envy.
Absolutely. Whether it's a car that you have or whether it's the success that you're having, it could be I'm envious of your marriage. There's a funny story. There is a friend of mine, and he was, you know, doing some of the spiritual works of mercy. He's noticing there's a gentleman there, kind of a row of, you know, some homeless. This gentleman, you know, he's kind of living in a cardboard box, but his cardboard box is, you know, well-maintained. So he starts talking about that. And the guy says, well, you know, I may be out here, but my cardboard box is better than their cardboard box.
So okay.
It doesn't matter what level we're on, whether we're looking at my Bentley versus your Rolls Royce.
Right.
Or we're looking at my cardboard box. Yeah. Versus their cardboard box.
I guess now we should talk about, well, how do we deal with envy? And here's what Pope Francis encouraged people to do. He said,
it's The Inner Life with Patrick Conley, 11 a.m. Central Time on relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app.
What a fantastic show this week. I am joined by Rachel McCallum, our producer, and Paul, our technical producer, as well as Father Tom, as always, to share with some to share some upcoming events we have in our archdiocese. Paul, do you want to kick us off?
We have a great one coming up. Join the St. Paul Seminary's lay graduate programs for an engaging evening lecture with Dr. Mark Gizek, Professor of Sacred Scripture, Thursday, March 19th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Carroll Coffee Company in St. Paul. Dr. Gizek will explore the biblical witnesses in Sirach and the letter to the Hebrews, highlighting lives of faith that continue to inspire and challenge the church today. Complimentary refreshments will be provided. Learn more by visiting archspm.org/events. That's coming up Thursday, March 19th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Carroll Coffee Company.
I suppose I could go to that website to find out where Carroll Coffee is, but do you happen to know anyone on this call? Where is that place? Do you know?
Yes, yeah, it is in it's in St. Paul, a little bit more towards Roseville and the Como neighborhood. Yeah. It's a Catholic, the owners are Catholic of the coffee company. It's named after Carol Wojtyła.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Paul II?
K-A-R-O-L, but not coffee with a K.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that would have been some fun branding.
It was a great Cars for Kids, right? KK.
Yeah, we had them on the show a year ago. I actually haven't been there myself, so
that's very good copy. Great shop. It's in a really nice neighborhood, and they just have like, now they have a little storefront that they open too, and like a maker's place. Doing a lot of fantastic things. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely need to check it out. Well, you won't want to miss this Holy Relationships Conference. It's coming up on Saturday, March 28th at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. You can work on building faithful, lasting relationships, gain practical tools, guidance, and inspiration to grow dating relationships, marriages, and families. And you can register now by heading over to archspm.org/events. Again, that's coming up Saturday, March 28th at the University of St. Thomas. I actually had signed up to go to that with one of my friends, so I'm excited. Oh. And yeah, I think
Rachel, do you know who's sponsoring this? I mean, we know where it's happening, but what organization?
The Roca Seca Project is sponsoring it, and that's an organization that I'm trying to think of the verb to use here, that wants to retain the Catholic identity of St. Thomas. So it's a lot of alumni. So Father Howe at Holy Cross in Minneapolis is the chaplain, for lack of a better word, of that organization. But yeah, I'm planning on going too. It's going to be fun. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I know.
I haven't got a ticket yet, though.
I looking at some of the speakers going. I think Dr. Kate Souchere is one of them. Renee Oaks from Archdiocese, all really great speakers.
We've had on the show.
Yeah, we've had on the show. Yeah.
Well, I don't think we've had John Edwards on the show. At least I haven't interviewed him in my 8 months here with us. He is an evangelist, and he's going to be doing a mission at St. Paul's Catholic Church up in Ham Lake. That's going to happen March 13th and 14th. He hosts a podcast called Just a Guy in the Pew. Now, I've not listened to the podcast, much less know a whole lot about John, but I'm sure if St. Paul and Ham Lake is inviting him in, it promises to be a dynamic evening, couple of evenings. He's going to give some talks. There will be time for praise and worship, Eucharistic adoration. You can experience and learn about message of conversion, healing, and living your faith boldly. So that, again, will be on March 13th and 14th. Evenings up at St. Paul and Ham Lake. And if you want more information and details, head over to archspm.org/events.
And next week, we've got Bishop Eisen returning to reflect on grief, change, transition, and finding hope in this Lenten season. And also joining us will be Dr. Mark Gizek, who is hosting that event at Carroll Coffee. But he'll join us to explore Sent by the Spirit, diving into the sacred fire of the temple altar, and the inspiring story of St. Elena Guerrera, Apostle of the Holy Spirit. He is seems like a super charismatic guy based on all of these Holy Spirit things, so I'm excited to get to know him.
No, I don't. He must have been on the faculty after I left. I was there up until 6 years ago, and I don't think he and I overlapped.
Ooh, a newbie then.
Yeah, right. Relatively so.
Father Tom, will you close us in a blessing?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for our entire practicing Catholic audience. We ask now to pour out your Spirit upon them, that this Lenten season may bring them closer to your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. To listen to past shows, find us wherever you get your podcasts. And stay connected with us. Visit our website, practicingcatholicshow.com, or follow us on social media at Practicing Catholic Show. We'll be back again next week. Go.